Hey, it's Brian here, and I've got a quick question for you. Did you miss Accelerate Live 2025? If you did, I hate to say it, but you missed big. But here's the good news. For the first and last time ever, we're bringing the entire game-changing experience to you online. This was our biggest and, dare I say, best Accelerate Live ever. And now is your chance to watch 12 of the industry's top leaders reveal the exact strategies, tactics, and tools that are working right now to drive leads, sales, and profits. This is a one-time offer, and it ends May 15th. So if you've never made it to an Accelerate Live and you're wondering what all the fuss is about, or you missed this year's event, this is your only chance to find out what happens behind those doors. I guarantee you will discover at least one strategy from each session that could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to you, or I'll give you your money back. Visit AccelerateEvent.com. That's AccelerateEvent.com to get your all-access pass before May 15th and unlock the home improvement industry's most powerful event today.
There's certain things that only I could do. You know what only I could do? I could only tell somebody from the founder's perspective how much I care about them. No one else could do that. Almost everything else I could delegate. But when I could tell somebody how special you are, how much you mean to this company, how much you mean to me, I can't delegate that.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. With me again is Tommy Mello. For those of you that may not know Tommy, Tommy runs like the most giant garage door company I think ever that's ever existed, right?
I think so. Yeah, it's not commercial and it's not new construction. So just residential retrofit. I believe we're the largest in the country, non-franchised.
How many markets are you in?
43 markets. Some of them are kind of hot dog stands. But some of them are massive. Some of them, like Phoenix, will do over $60 million this year.
Damn. In garage doors.
Yeah, there's a lot of garage doors. We run over 20,000. We run over 20,000 jobs. Separate houses. A month.
A month. Damn.
A month. Yeah.
Huge. Okay, so I said I wanted to start with you. When I was on your podcast recently, before we turned on the recording, you were talking some numbers. You don't have to disclose the numbers here if you don't want to. But when we're talking numbers, you were talking EBITDA numbers. Here, these are EBITDA numbers, meaning my profit. This is what my business made. You didn't even say anything about revenue. So why is it that you talk about profitability where everybody else is beating their chests about, oh, look how big we are with revenue and blah, blah, blah? Why are you so focused on profit?
You know, I'll tell you, we're going to do just north of $250 million at 24.8% to the bottom line. So we're just under 25%. And a long time ago, I used to really focus on growth and think revenue growth is where I needed to be. And then I realized revenue is for vanity and profit is for sanity, right? You know, there's that old phrase. I was so focused, if I grow, I could turn those dials eventually. And it worked in some respect, but now I'm like, I don't really care what you do, what you make. I care about how much profit. I don't care what the revenue is. So a lot of people, they get together and say, how much you do last year? And they're bragging. But when you ask them their profit, they're like, oh, man, probably like 10%. They don't even know.
They don't even know.
They're like, probably like this. And it's easy to calculate revenue. You just look at how much got deposited in the bank, whatever your CRM says. So that's an easy number to throw out. I think when you really think about bottom line profitability and how much time, effort, and energy that A1 Garage Doors puts into their forecasting, how much we put in our week-to-week analysis. We got three FP&A people We've got a controller, a CFO. We've got a whole team of AR. We've got all these people in the finance department that just give us very, very, very insightful strategies around the finance side. And like, I was just in a conversation earlier about maybe taking half the fleet to EV, you know, to EV chargers and then get them on electric vehicles, because you're talking about adding $1.5 million of EBITDA. Yeah. And anytime you could add 1.5, and here's the secret sauce, Brian. I think what everything changed for me is when I figured out how to value a company. And there's a great book called Built to Sell. And when you think about trying to sell a business, you don't sell it off of revenue. You don't sell it across anything else, but typically EBITDA. I mean, pest control, maybe you could get away with revenue like 2.3 times or whatever they do. But that's a really odd one, and that's reoccurring. Like, I buy a garage for a business, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, gutters, roofing. We're not reoccurring. And so I do have service agreements, but I know there's a long-winded answer, but I will say profit is where every single person on the planet should be focused if they want something one day that's going to give them a lot of money.
Yeah, as you know, we started a company because we could not – we would teach people how to make money, and then they would go to their accountant or they would go to their bookkeeper. They'd go to, you know, whoever on their team is doing this stuff, and they just didn't get – they didn't understand. We have to organize the chart of accounts in a certain way. We have to use the balance sheet. We have to be on accrual accounting, blah, blah, blah. We have to get a report by the 10th of each month so we know – where are we? How did we do? Because the ultimate scorecard is profitability. And the interesting thing, Tommy, is I'm sure you see this a lot. So yeah, people throw out their revenue numbers. Yeah, we did this. But then, you know, the other numbers they know is their sales efficiency. So, well, how many leads did we issue? How many of those did we demo? How many of those converted to a sale? What are average? They know all of these numbers. They know the NSLI of their each individual salesperson, but then they don't know what their overhead expenses are. They don't know what their real, true, fully loaded marketing costs are. It's like, why are you doing all of this work and taking on all of this risk and all of this liability if you're not focused on the bottom line? And it's like, I don't know how to, sometimes they just don't know how to get through to people. I'm sure you deal with it a lot.
I think they were taught at some point, like, I talked to a lot of small business owners and they're like, oh yeah, I got my real books. And then I got, you know, the books that I turn into the IRS, and they're keeping cash and they're not turning in their scrap metal. There's all this stuff they're not doing. Of course, they're paying both their kids and that's fine. You know, whatever. That makes sense. I get it. You're allowed to do certain things and some of it is illegal, but you're going to do it. But why do it a business? My question is, I think a lot of people never plan on selling their business is the problem. But what's happened through COVID is just these multiples have come up. Private equity, all this money, there's $5 trillion sitting on the sidelines waiting to get into home service and home improvement. And now it's like they're starting to see if you're sophisticated and you could run these systems, that it's actually like, you should see my Service Titan account. It just goes up. Up. It's a little ladder and it just keeps going. And it's not like, oh, we had a bad month. We don't have bad months. We don't have bad weeks. We just don't. I mean, listen, on a holiday, Thanksgiving, we were dead, but we knew we were dead. We're dead every single year.
Sure.
But ultimately, you know, we budgeted for that. So I think if a person just understood, work your ass off for less than a decade. Of course, some people have to put sweat equity in for the first 5 years. But if you get that EBITDA up and you do everything right and you do accrual accounting, not cash accounting. You know, there's these simple little things. You get audited financials. I know it sounds crazy. At least start with reviewed financials. See, I think most people, if you're like me in my boat, you didn't have the right CFO at the right time. You don't have the right, whether it's an advanced bookkeeper, CFO. Once I met the right CFO, once I got the right team, we went from 10% to 15% to 20%, now 25%. And we think we could get to 33%. Because now we buy, you know, we're going to spend with our vendors $60 million. $60 million this year. That gives us buying power. I know there's a lot of people that are like, man, I should get in the garage door business. You know what's crazy, Brian? There's no one like us. I mean this in the most humble way, but I could understand like a bath. Like, I know what it's like to remodel a bath. I used to flip houses. Like, I know what it's like what people spend on redoing a kitchen. I understand what it's like to sell solar and windows. We sell a garage door. My average garage door sale, like the average ticket for a garage door blended with service, is $1,200. So that's why I need so many transactions. That's service and sales. Our average door sells like $6,500. So people are like, man, he must have figured out something. There's 500 competitors here in Phoenix. It's not like you go in Valpak, there's 5 coupons for garage doors. Yeah. You go in the newspaper, there's 5. I think some people really think, man, I'm going to go into that. I'll tell you this. I'm not going into bathrooms. I'm not going into gutters or leaf fitter or any of this stuff. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to focus on the number one thing. I'm going to stay focused. And I'm going to win at this. And there's no limit. You know, here's the deal. We're north of 60 million of EBITDA. I'm taking this to 112. We'll sell again. And then I'm going to run it again. And we're going to 5X it again.
So you're focused. So what if people aren't focused on selling?
I think they think, you know, I just want, I've met a lot of people that are like, listen, I want to leave this. There's one of three things. Either I'm going to die and the government's going to take it. Number two is my kids want it. Number three, I'm going to sell it. I think that a lot of people think like, a lot of people like my cousin is, what am I going to do if I sell it?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple, you don't need to sell all of it. You can take, it's called taking chips off the table. It's called taking a little bit of dilution. So you dilute yourself a little bit out of the business. You take some cash out. I think that if people just started with the end in mind, how much would it cost for the perfect house, the vacation times? This doesn't need to be, listen, you sign a non-compete just not to do business in the market you're in. Doesn't mean you can't take the same industry and go somewhere else unless you got a national company. But you could also go into any other industry. When you learned conversion rate, average ticket, booking rate, cost per lead, you could apply the same thing to any other widget. Some people are just married to this. When you go through a process of selling your business, there's nothing better, especially when there's arbitrage. Mm-hmm. And these crazy words, arbitrage is my favorite word in the English dictionary. You could buy it for this. You could sell it for this. You can make money out of thin air. The day I buy a business, my multiple triples. I don't even know how that's legal. But so many people get caught up on this idea of just, yeah, well, I'm never going to, you know. So you're going to meet, you don't ever show up to a baseball game with your kids and seriously focus. You don't ever go on a real vacation with your family. You think you're there, but I know you're really not. You're thinking about the bills. You're thinking about this. You're thinking about that. Like I would say, just get enough to get that you could retire if you wanted to. Get that much in the bank. And I know it's easy to say, people are like, yeah, it's easy for you to say. But they don't know, man. I always say I'm an overnight success of 20 years. I've been working very, very hard, nights, weekends, holidays, you name it, since the day I got in the business when I was 22. And it's been a couple decades now. And when you stick to one thing and you focus on it and you try really hard and you start reading books every day and you start understanding marketing and attribution models, and you start hiring people smarter than you and you start bringing on consultant after consultant after consultant, you are going to grow. It's the people that give up. And there's no better feeling in the world than selling your business. I know a lot of people like Gino Wickman would disagree. I've had him on the podcast several times, and he says, you feel like a piece of your soul left. That's because you do want something to keep you busy. You do want something to continue to do. But having enough money and just knowing everything's okay, there's a lot to that.
It's a good place. It's a good place to be. And, you know, you and I preach the same stuff, man. I mean, you just said it earlier. What is that house that you want to live in cost? What kind of cars do you want to drive? Where do you want to send your kids to school? What do you want to do for fun? Do you want to travel? Do you want to, whatever it is, put a number to it and understand, okay, when I get to this number, then I get to live the lifestyle I want. I get to put money away. I get to give to my favorite charities. I get to retire all of my debt and live debt free. And I just wonder, like, I'd love to get your take on this because you have done so much. I mean, forget 20 years. I mean, you do more in a year than a lot of people do in their business in 10. And you've had that drive. I think the first conversation I had with you was maybe 10 years ago. And you had the same like drive and ambition as you do now. Maybe it's even more now that you, because you know so much. But what is it? Why is it that some people just work fast and execute fast? And some people just they're either afraid or what is it that holds them back from not taking action? Especially when they're here listening to a guy that's built an incredible business. Here are the things you have to do. Boom, 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 boom. And then go listen to your podcast, Home Service Millionaire, where you can just go and listen to all of Tommy's thoughts. Like, you couldn't do this 10 years ago. So anyway, what do you think it is?
I meet a lot of people, number one. Number one, they're the smartest guy in the room. They are. Everybody that works for them, they say are assholes. These guys don't show up. They don't care like they used to. This new generation of people, they got this mentality. And then there's also the other one that's afraid to fail. That doesn't think they're worth it. They're just, their small thinking holds them back. They're like, if I could just get to a million a year. And I'm like, shit, how do I get to a billion? And that's, I feel like a billion is going to be another starting point because the goalpost moves. So the fact that they don't believe in themselves, they dream too small. The fact that they're not good leaders and they think they're the smartest guy in the room, and which they are, but it's the room they put themselves in.
Yeah.
They don't ask for help very often. Readers are leaders. We know that. They're afraid to read a book or they listen to one audible a year. When they hire a consultant, they do all the talking. They never do the listening. I could go on and on. Like, I'll tell you this. Every consultant I've ever worked with says I'm one of their favorites because I shut the hell up and I implement quickly and I respect them and I give them credit when I'm on a stage. I don't take when I find success. I'm like, I came up with that. No, I don't do that. I say, without the help of this person or this person or knowing the financial quick check or putting manuals in the right place. Or, you know, right now we're working with Cameron Harold and I've worked with a lot of different people and I give them credit. So I think a lot of it, I could go on and on about this, but most people, I'm like, what's your booking rate? They don't know it. I'm like, what'd you guys do last month? They don't know it. Well, what's your average ticket? They don't know it. Well, what's your cost per lead per source? They don't know it. And I know it's a blue collar industry, but that doesn't mean you're allowed not to know your numbers. Like, it just makes no sense. It makes no sense at all to me. Some of these people are flying by the seat of their pants. And the reason why, Brian, is because they didn't start their company to have a business. They started it because they saw somebody else making all the money. They knew how to do the work and they're continuing to do the work.
Yeah.
And it's what the E-Myth talks about. They're still the worker. They don't know how to manage people. They don't have the entrepreneur gene in them. As long as they're making a great living, they're bringing in 300 grand a year. The funny thing is, when I say how much did you make last year, you know how much I pay myself? I think it's 350, 380 grand. That's my W-2. Okay. And then the business still makes 24.8%. See, this is the biggest confusion that most people don't understand. When I say how much did you make last year, there's a W-2 and then there's the business.
Yeah.
And if you're not paying yourself at least six figures, I just had a guy call me this weekend. And I said, what's the business? He sent me his financials. Really, really nice guy. It's my cousin's buddy. My cousin was in town for Thanksgiving. I said, what's up with Q4? He said, well, he's explaining some stuff to me. I said, how much do you pay yourself? He says, $30,000 a year. I said, well, you're making 15% on 3 million. You're making 450,000. This is great. Let's bump you up to 100,000. That's what you should be making at this. You still got to pay Uncle Sam, right? You still got to pay FICA and Medicare and these other things. I said, that's going to get you out of it. It's not going to be good. And plus, when I go to buy your business one day, if I wanted to, I say, why isn't the CEO or the founder paying himself shit? So there's all these things that come out of these conversations. You got to pay through Uncle Sam. You got to give yourself a W-2. I started out at 60 grand. Then my CPA said, hey, we got to get you to 100. Then he said 200 based on what size the business was. And people get this stuff confused all the time, but they don't know their numbers.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, too, is that if you're an S Corp or an LLC, it's a pass through. So if your business is a lot of people, like you said before, they have two sets of books. They'll do this. They'll do that. I used to do that shit. You know why? Because it made me feel good that I wasn't making money. You know, I wasn't making the kind of money I wanted to make. So I would just say, yeah. Well, I pay very little in taxes. Well, over the last few years, I've paid millions of dollars in taxes. Now, I'm not necessarily happy about it, but it means that you're doing something right. And like you said, if you go to sell your business, you got to show people tax returns. It's like, where did this money go? And if you're an S Corp or an LLC and your business happens to make $450,000 or whatever the hell it means, you're paying taxes on that anyway. My favorite one is people that say, well, it's in the business. What do you mean it's in the business? You know, like, where's your profit? It's in the business.
Oh, no, I invested it back into the business.
I invested it back in the business. Show me where you invested it. Like, where did the money go? And most people have no answer for that. And it's like, and get, by the way, people that are listening, me and Tommy are not beating you up here. It may sound like it, but both of us are coming from a place of, it doesn't have to be this way. He teaches it. He gives it away. I mean, this is a guy that's, you know, worth a considerable amount of money, and he's probably going to be a home service billionaire next. And you could get his information for free just by listening to his damn podcast. And so I'm not sure if there are excuses anymore is kind of like where I'm going with it. And like you said about the consultants or whoever you hire, coach, mentor, consultant. Yeah. Listen to what they say. Execute on what they say. Implement. And get data back. Nothing, everything doesn't work. You know, some shit doesn't work. How much stuff have you done over 20 years that didn't work?
A lot more than did work. I mean, listen, I call it failing forward.
Yeah.
I continue to fail very, very quickly. The difference is I don't keep assuming they make a mistake. I always say this, a mistake made more than once is a choice. And I think a lot of people, they don't understand that. They keep going back to work and doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And so many people, listen, the hardest part is getting out of the truck for most people. And then the next level is hiring people that are smarter than you. The first thing I try to do is a time analysis of where's your time going? And most people listening right now probably need to hire an executive assistant. The problem they won't is they say, well, they're gonna make a lot of mistakes. And of course they will. You haven't documented anything. How do I book your flight? Do you prefer Southwest or American? Do you like sitting in the aisle or the window? What's your pre-check number? Like, do you mind delays? You've never created a manual for these people. They have no idea. So there's gonna be 3 months of mistakes. You'll take two steps backwards. Now here's the problem. You're gonna get a lot of your time back. The problem is, what are you gonna do with it?
Yeah.
And do you know where to be spending your time? Let's put it this way. If the average booking rate, and I use ServiceTime because they're a very large CRM, they say the average booking rate is 42%. Now I'm at 89%. I will hit 95% next year by the end of Q1. Now, at $250 million, how much do you think a percent equals? 2.5 million. Mm-hmm. So what does that extra 6% mean to me? It means an extra $15 million. That's without growth. And we're going to grow because we're putting more money into marketing, training, and everything else. So this is how, do you hear how I talk about numbers? These numbers are factual. And I just feel like a lot of people, they're like, they don't want to look at the facts. Because I know where my hours are going, my schedule's color-coded, every single thing has a time. And I know what I should be working on. I know who I should be calling. There's certain things that only I could do. You know what only I could do? I could only tell somebody from the founder's perspective how much I care about them. No one else could do that. Almost everything else I could delegate. But when I could tell somebody how special you are, how much you mean to this company, how much you mean to me, I can't delegate that.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, what's funny is tomorrow I'm doing a webinar, end of year webinar, four powerful lessons to stop wasting time, losing money, and feeling stuck. So you've already brought up lesson number one is knowing your numbers. Okay, so that one you've already brought up. People, developing people, right people, right seats. That's number two. Number three is speed of implementation. We just talked about that. And number four is actually mindset. You touched on that a little bit. And I actually want to go a little deeper with you on this because do you talk about mindset very much when you're with your groups?
We talk about mindset in a way like when I talk about mindset, I think it's belief in oneself. I think the believing that we deserve this. We've got a dream manager. Do you know your goals? Have you reverse engineered everything? Yeah. So there's a little bit of math that goes into this, but I'm like, you deserve it. I don't care that your mom, some of the people I work with, my coworkers, some of them didn't have a mom growing up. Some of them's dad told them they were a piece of shit. And it's hard to get out of that funk, but you know what? I think you're worth it. And I think you deserve this. You got to write down your goals. I have a guy right on the border of making Pinnacle, which is a huge deal because he gets equity in the company. And he's got about 28 days left. And he's starting to talk excuses. I go, dude, you're going to hit this in your sleep. But here's what you might have to do. I know you're picking up a sixth day. You might have to pick up Sundays. 28 days, four extra days, just one job on each Sunday. Quit, like, it's a big deal. And he's like, what are you going to do for me if I don't hit it? I'm like, nothing. You've got to hit it. But go ahead. Talk to me a little bit about mindset. What do you talk about with mindset?
You get the steak knives.
Yeah, that's it. Coffee's for closers.
For me, mindset's everything. I think success is 90%+ mindset. 10% is, you know, skill set, because skill set can be borrowed. It could be rented. Mindset is the only thing that you can control. We can't control what's going on out there. The only thing we can control is what's going on in here. And I had all of those issues. And I grew up with great parents, beautiful people, wonderful people. But guess what? They had all kinds of money issues. My dad, a kid, was born in the Depression. They were poor. Not only were they poor, they were like third-class citizens. They lived in a basement. His mother cleaned houses. He had all kinds of money issues, but he came to America. He got a job, corporate America. You know, he lived the American dream, got to middle class. And for him, that was his dream. But for me, I didn't want that. I wanted to be rich. But I had to overcome all of the negative money programming that I had, the deserving, the worthiness of it. Just like, who the hell do you think you are that you can go and, you know, fly private, or you can fly in the front of the plane instead of the back of the plane? That's like, that'll mess with you, you know, going to events like yours and feeling like an imposter, you know, like, oh, I don't belong here, or my event that's coming up in February. It's like, you know, some guy told me, he joined our group, our Success Society, our mastermind groups. And he said, you know, Brian, I've heard you talk about that for 2 years at Accelerate, and I didn't feel I was good enough. I didn't feel I was worthy enough to be in the group. And then he finally joined in, and the changes he has made and the things that he has done in such a short amount of time, because now he's in an environment where he's lifted up. It's incredible what people can do given the right inputs. However, you know, with all of that said, the caveat is it's hard. It's hard to work on yourself. That's like the hardest work you're ever going to do. And I think people don't put the time into it. It's like training. I mean, look at what you're doing with your body, man. I mean, if you want bigger biceps, do you go to the gym and just do one set, like as much weight as I can do one set? Boom, I'm done. That's it. I got it now. I got biceps now. That's not how it works. It's every day. It's what you eat. It's what you do when you're not in the gym. And people don't get that about up here.
I've been talking a lot about these things, the five Fs, and there's family, there's finance, there's faith, there's fitness, and there's future self. Future self is, what are you doing to educate yourself? And I think all of those need a lot of attention. They all become really important to you at some point or another. If you're dying, all of a sudden faith becomes the most important thing.
Yeah.
When you wake up in the morning and you feel like crap, fitness is really, really important. Finances, that's what you just said. You wanted to be rich. Future self is like, who? You don't want to be in a room and just not know anything, barely know how to read. I mean, some people, I understand this with the way they grew up, but in family, I mean, that's all we've got. I mean, family and friends. So I've realized there's 168 hours in a week. If you spend 60 working, which is crazy, and you spend another 50 sleeping, and you spend 10 working out, you still got 50 hours left. I think so many people, they make excuses. They look in the mirror. I've never been through a 12-step program, but I know about what they are. The first thing is admitting you got a problem.
Right.
You say, listen, you look in the mirror and you admit, maybe it's me. And most people never get to that step. Most people never say, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe nobody wants to work for me because I pay like shit. I treat people like shit. I never smile. I come in groggy. You know, maybe maybe my wife doesn't love me very much because I'm a freaking asshole. You know, here's the thing. There's this book I read called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. He wrote down 100 things he wanted in the perfect woman, right? He writes down every quality about her. He reads the list, and he's sitting there saying, I can never pull a chick like this. Like, why? I don't deserve a woman like this. So he said, I better write down 100 things I need to become to deserve somebody like this. And I think some people need to step back and say, who do I need to become to deserve the people that I want to work with? Because I'll tell you this, I didn't get here alone. Brian, I'd love to tell you it was all my ideas and I worked my ass off, but guess what? I don't do a whole lot anymore.
Yeah,
I don't. I show up as best I can. The only thing I think I'm really good at now is identifying talent, because that's all I need to do. If I keep getting people that are smarter than me to come in, pay them well, give them a stake in the equity, it's amazing how it'll keep growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
And just get people with passion. And I do believe top grading is important. People don't want to talk about that. They talk about loyalty. Loyalty means two people meet 50-50. And just because they're with you 10 years does not mean that they're loyal to you when they don't show up to the meetings on time and they roll their eyes. And I could go on about this, but so many people, you don't know what an A player is because you've only had 12 employees and they've been here for the last two decades. You haven't grown with the times. You don't like technology. You hate a CRM. You're still using the old credit card. Like, I look at businesses and I love buying old businesses because they haven't even claimed their own Google page. Like, yeah, we tried that Google thing. It doesn't work. I love that. I love it when they say that. I'm like, so you guys are slammed right now? How much do you spend on marketing? Oh, we don't do much. We pull out an ad for $10,000 a year. So you're spending 1% on marketing and you're busy? You're the kind of business I want to buy. I love those businesses.
Yeah, there's a ton of opportunity living inside of that business. So it's interesting that what Darren Hardy said, okay, here's the woman and all the qualities she has to have. Here's the business and all of the qualities it has to have. I said this to somebody the other day. I was testing him. And I said, hey, what about, he works for somebody else now. And we were talking about money. He's actually dating my niece. And so I had to interview him. I hit him hard. And I'm like, okay, you're working for somebody else. I go, she's good. She's already a millionaire. And she's going to be a millionaire 10 times over in the next few years because she's super driven, super talented. I go, so what are you doing to become a millionaire? And he starts with this like, blah, 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 blah. You know, like he didn't know. And the real conversation is not about what you're going to go and do. And, oh, I'm going to do day trading. He told me, I'm going to trade my money. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, no. Tell me. Who are you going to become? How are you going to become a person that becomes a millionaire? How are you going to become a person that can actually take care of my niece and make her feel good about herself when you've got such hangups about money? And the becoming thing is like, I'm fascinated by the whole becoming thing because I see it over and over and over and over again. It's like, and so the question is, how do you know who to become next?
Yeah, I guess the main thing is identifying the right consultants, because 9 out of 10 of them are not real. Nine out of 10 of them are, they didn't make it in the real world. You know, those who can't make it in the real world, they teach. I met this guy, Dan Martell. He wrote a book, Buy Back Your Time, and he's a coach of mine. And
it's a good book. I just finished it.
It's great. Yeah. I got to tell you, he taught me a lot. I have everything in my business figured out. I had manuals, standard operating procedures, checklists, KPI tracking. He's like, now do that with your personal life. He's like, how many hours do you drive a week? I was like, we figured it out. It was like 11 and a half on average. He's like, okay, so you're hiring a driver. We did the math. I'm like, all right. Then he's like, okay, then we're going to hire you a chef. He goes, just do the math. You don't love to cook. Do the math. What does that do for your health? It's like, and he taught me this, but I needed that. I needed the fitness. I was ready for that. And I needed some buy back my time. But he was in this room with me and he says, Tommy, I buy how I want to be bought from. And when I figured that out, it changed everything.
Yeah.
There's so many people that come to me, he said, that want to get 10% or 20% off or can't afford me. And then they wonder why nobody's buying their services and how everybody wants to make them a deal. And I just thought about it. I don't go to a consultant and be like, what's the cheapest you could do for me? I want them to feel good about me. I want them to be like, listen, I'm going to work with this guy because not only does he implement quickly, he believes in himself enough that he's going to pay the full price. Now, that doesn't mean I'm just going to double pay everywhere I look. It doesn't mean like if I find two of the same couches, I'm not going to like, you know what I mean? I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
But and I also don't think the most expensive consultants are the best. Like, I don't just if I'm going to take my time and my time, by the way. I do the math every week. And as they get closer to a sale date, my time becomes more and more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do the time left till the next turn of the business. And right now, I mean, listen, I could show you the math, but I mean, the next sell will be $2.2 billion. I own 47% of the business. That's about $1 billion, right? Do $1 billion, even if you put 50 hours in a work week, putting that in, 50 times 50 is $2,500. $2,500, you do the math and divide that by $1 billion, you start to say, holy shit, where am I spending my time? Is this the right thing to be doing right now?
Yeah.
Now, of course, you get to watch your favorite show. You get to take your kids on a date. If you love mowing the lawn, mow the lawn. But everything else, once you do this simple formula, you start saying, where is my time? And this is the problem. People just don't know where to spend their time. They just don't understand it. And if they just understood, long walks, very good. Great sleep, very good. Reading a book, very good. Light working out, great. Quality time with family, great. Like, it doesn't mean you're only working. Praising people, great. You know how many times, Brian, you're married, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you think you say, maybe not as much as you used to, but how many times do you think you say, I love you to your wife?
More now than ever before.
So a couple times a day?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten upset with her or she's gotten upset with you?
Yes.
And when you guys get upset, does she still know you love her?
Yes.
And you guys could have really difficult conversations?
Yes. If you're busting your ass every day but still not seeing the profits you deserve, listen up. Most of us got into this business from a sales or production background. We know how to sell, we know how to get the job done, but no one ever taught us how to build a truly profitable business, one that generates serious money month after month, no matter the competition or market conditions. But here's the game changer. There is a proven formula for making boatloads of money in this business, and for the first time, those who've cracked the code are finally sharing their secrets. Introducing the Profit Masters, the done-for-you service that hands you a proven profit framework, does industry-specific bookkeeping and real job costing for you, plus monthly profit coaching to help you finally achieve the life-changing net profit you deserve. Now, don't take my word for it. Listen to what other owners are saying.
You're getting a whole team for a fraction of the cost. Do it now. Don't hesitate.
It took a lot off my plate. I mean, it like changed our life.
If I could have found out about this earlier in life, I would have jumped in way sooner. Best investment I ever made.
The truth is, you were never taught how to build a profitable home improvement business, let alone how to use it to create real wealth. But now, you can get the proven blueprint that so many successful home improvement business owners are using to transform their profits. Go to theprofitmasters.com right now to schedule your no-obligation discovery call. Again, that's theprofitmasters.com. Don't wait. You have nothing to lose and a whole lot of money and freedom to gain.
Well, I have a lot of coworkers I work with, and if I could tell them enough how much I love them and how much they're kicking ass and how special they are, and if I could try to do that more often, 10 times more than I say we need to work on stuff. And why isn't your conversion rate? What do we got to do on your booking rate? I don't do that stuff. I used to have to do that stuff. I've got better people than I could ever be with that stuff. But my point is, if you could do that with your wife and you could do that with your niece, shouldn't we be doing that with our own people?
Yeah.
We'll be telling them how much we appreciate them 10 times more than we tell them we need to do better. And we should never criticize them in public, ever. We should tell them how amazing they are in public. And if you got to have a problem with them, you say, listen, Brian, remember what you told me your dream was? You said you wanted to do $250,000 this year. Now, remember why You were taking your dad on this trip. You're going to do this with your wife. You're going to do this with your kids. You remember when we built your mind map, your dreams, your goals. Now, listen, I saw your conversion rate go down to here, which means you're not going to hit your goal, which means you're not going camp with your dad this year. So do you want me to help you? I'm going to get you riding along with this guy who's got the best conversion rate of what you're doing. You just got to promise me you want it. Because if you don't want it anymore, we got to refine your why. We got to redo your dreams. Let me help you. Because there's something missing here. You used to have fire, energy, passion when you walked into my office. Something's wrong. What's going on with you? Now, instead of pointing at him and say, we're putting you on a performance improvement plan and you suck, maybe there's something going on at home and they just need to talk. Maybe they don't look healthy. I got a guy, his eyes are yellow. They don't look good at all. And I told him, you might need to take, I'd be glad. I don't know what's going on, dude, but you're more than welcome. I'll pay you to take off a month. And, you know, if you need help, like serious help with you, I'd be glad to pay for that as well. Because you don't look healthy. Something's up. I'm not, I didn't walk up to and say drug test now.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know, maybe too much alcohol. It could be not enough sleep. It could be anything, but these things matter. And you know what? I enjoy when I walk in and I love to do whatever I want. Like I love what I get to do because this is, I get to continue to do this. I think my CFO loves CFOing. I think my COO actually enjoys his job. And I used to love to be a tech too. I miss being a technician. That's the crazy thing is I really enjoyed a lot of aspects of this job. The worst thing I never liked firing people unless you lie, cheat, or steal.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about all of what you just said? And by the way, for everybody listening, yeah, Tommy's talking about $1 billion, but the number doesn't matter. Everything he's saying applies directly to you, even if your goal is to make $1 million. It doesn't make a difference. So don't get caught up in the big numbers that Tommy's talking about. But what's interesting, Tommy, is so at a foundational level in your business, you understand how everything works, how the numbers relate to results, marketing, sales, production, P&L, balance sheet. You understand all of that. You've got all of those basics. But then to now take that and to really put it on steroids, now you're saying, I became the coach of my people. I am on a quest to make my people the best that they can be. And if they want to be the best, they want to make more money than they've ever made. They want to buy a house. They want to go on camping trip with their father. Yeah. You will show them how to get there using facts and figures, numbers that you understand and your entire team understands. And your job then becomes, how do I make myself a better leader? So you said walking, long walks, good, because you need time to think. Read a book, learn something from somebody, you know, but learn about somebody's experience, rest, work out, take care of yourself physically and mentally, and then show up and be a great coach. And you don't need a $250 million business to do that, do you?
No, I think most people, let me just tell you this, and I think this is really important. More money, more problems, man. I'll tell you this. I wouldn't wish my life. It was not easy growing up, but I thought money was going to solve everything. Now you really can't trust. Thank God this doesn't affect me. Like it really doesn't. But I'll tell you this. I got people calling me that I haven't talked to in 2 decades. They know they knew there was an event. They read about it. Now, like, I bought I didn't go crazy, but I bought some cool cars, like a old DeLorean, like an 85. Like, I got more to worry about with more money, more problems. You can't trust people. There's a lot of things that go on with this. I had to go up this ladder and I skipped like 20 steps on this ladder and relearn how to live differently. Now I'm lawyered up like crazy. Mm-hmm. I've got a full time tax strategist. I got a family office. I had to learn all these things. So I had to go to people that I didn't know, that didn't know me, and teach me how to even live with this kind of money.
Yeah.
Because look, there's a reason that most people that hit the lottery go broke. MC Hammer, he brought his whole crew everywhere with him, and all of a sudden he's busted. And I will tell you, a lot of people are like, man, that's all I want. Then they get there. I've met more wealthy people that are on drugs that commit suicide. The fun part is having enough to survive. You know, there's this stat, and I think it's 73% of people, after you make $100,000 a year, the money becomes less important because you're literally Maslow's hierarchy. You're hitting all your major needs. You're eating, you're sleeping, you're bringing your kids to school. Once you're hitting all your needs, the extra money, and I know it's easy for me to say, and people are listening going, dude, yeah, right. If I could do this and I could do that. Let me just tell you, the people that I see completely retire. No, never will completely retire. They go golfing. They're in, somewhere in Cabo, and they spend 3 weeks and then they go, they kind of lose a little bit of their self-worth. But to sell your business does not mean you're done. This is the crazy thing. When you go through the process, you understand quality of earnings. You understand audited financials. You understand what it is to hire the right banker. And you go through this process, you get really nervous and they're going to check, depending on the size of the deal. I mean, they're checking, they're invading your person. They're going deep into everything. They want to know what kind of business, who are you as a person? And it's pretty nerve wracking, honestly, because yes, I made mistakes in my past. They aren't major mistakes. It's not like I killed somebody, but you know, to go through this process and now I can't wait for the next one. Now I'm like, bring it on. From now on, Brian, every business that I've invested in since my deal, I tell people if I'm invested, it's 5 years or less. And it's been over 20 businesses and I create a plan. And we don't need much time. It's not a time because we're going to make a healthy investment. We're going to double down on leads, double down on training. If you increase your booking rate, you increase your conversion rate, you increase your average ticket and you decrease your cost per lead, you can 5X a business very quickly, especially when you're talking about $1 million EBITDA business.
Yeah.
And I say this to be the nicest. It's not hard to double your business. It's not hard to triple. It's not hard to quadruple when they're small. It gets a little more intricate when you get to like $100 million to like double because of EBITDA. Because you're like, but here's all the math. Well, let me just tell you this, right? Here, do this. I'm just going to pull out my calculator. I want everybody to do this right now that's listening to the podcast. And I will tell you guys exactly what needs to happen in your business. Give me a number that you'd want to do in revenue for your business. I know we talk about EBITDA and profit.
In revenue, the most common number I hear is 10 million. Everybody wants 10 million.
Okay. So give me the average booking rate. Give me a booking rate.
Let's say 70%.
Okay. So 0.7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what's the conversion rate? That means I'm knocking on your door. Conversion rate.
Call it
30%, which is, that would be something I'd fix first. And then, and I know there's higher tickets and stuff. What's the average ticket?
15,000.
15,000. And what does it cost per lead? This is important, not cost per acquisition, but cost per lead.
Issued lead, I think the average in our space right now is approaching $500. So call it 500.
I'm doing 10 million. I'm dividing by 0.7. And the number gets bigger. Right. It goes to, instead of 10 million, it goes to 14,200,000. Then I hit equals and I divide. Now it's going to go way up because I'm dividing by 0.3, which is my conversion rate. Now it went from 10 million to 47,600,000. Now I'm going to divide that by 15,000. So I had equals divided by 15,000. And this is how many jobs I need to run. 3,174 jobs. Now, all I do is times that by $500, and I'm spending $1,587,000 on marketing. So I'm spending just under 16% in marketing, which is fine, especially with a growing business. So that means I need to run 3,174 jobs. So then I start to take that number and I say, okay, am I open on Sundays? No. So I go through working days, get rid of the holidays, and then I figure out capacity planning. How many guys do I need to hire? Then I need to figure out what are all my lead sources and how do I have perfect attribution? And what lead sources equal what? Is Yelp as good as Angie? Is when the newspaper works, how well is those clients? Does Valpak work? What is my LSA versus GMB? What is door knocking? How are the home shows doing? The crazy thing is, if you could just figure out a few of these sources and get really good at them, like really, really good, it turns into a lot of money. But certain leads got to get run differently. And that's the hardest part people don't understand is like, We run $19 tune-ups. That's our most common job. $19 tune-ups. But why does somebody call for a tune-up? If you bring your car in for a tune-up, something's usually wrong. But this little equation, it works every time in any industry. I don't care if you're a dentist, if you sell newspapers, if you sell magazines, if you sell clone. Like when somebody comes up to your booth at the, it's a little bit different, but if somebody comes up to your booth at the mall, how often do you convert them? You don't have a booking rate in this case, but it's the same thing. And then you just figure out how many clients would I need to talk to based on my conversion rate.
Yeah.
And it's easy numbers. And this little thing is how we build our budget. And this is how I buy businesses. Because all I do is, listen, you just told me your booking rate's 70%. Your conversion rate's 30%. Your average ticket's 15,000. Your cost per lead's 500. If one of those KPIs I'm better at, I can pay more for your business. Now, what's really cool is, let's say I'm paying $700 a lead, but I'm kicking your ass at conversion rate and booking rate. When I'm taking your business in, we're going to learn on how you're getting leads for less than me. Or I'm sorry, the integrations is a very, very hard thing. People think you can just buy businesses. You can't. It's way more complicated than people even understand. But when you buy the business, if these KPIs are better, I know how many leads they're getting. I know my booking rate. I know my conversion rate, and I know my average ticket. Never once has this formula failed me. And I can predict our effective multiple within 0.1% every time.
Wow, that's impressive.
Every single time.
Okay, so you were talking formula, then you were talking multiple. So what's interesting is that, you know, I'm doing that. I told you about that webinar I'm doing tomorrow. I'm doing something similar where I'm saying, okay, look, when you know your numbers, when you know all of the important numbers of your business, and you were right, every business has important numbers. Dentists, probably different than yours. Yours are probably a little different than a roofer's, but everybody's got the main core numbers of their business. And then when you know what they are, then you can go to work on each individual thing. So if I increase my booking rate, well, then what does that do to the number of jobs that I've closed? Even if I don't change my job or my
close more jobs,
you're going to get more jobs because you booked more jobs. Well, what if I can book more jobs? We call it issue, you know, create an appointment and issue a lead. If you could do that, plus now you can work on increasing your closing percentage. Okay, now you got a double whammy there. Well, what if now once I've done that and I've done increased my closing percentage, what if I now raise my prices? So now what have you just done to your gross margin? Your gross margin's gone up. What have you done to your marketing costs? Your marketing costs has come down.
Your marketing costs went down, yeah.
So it's really interesting when you talk about numbers, how many different things it impacts, including the multiple you're going to get for your business. What you're going to potentially sell your business for.
So I got a phone call from a guy that found me somehow. I don't answer LinkedIn messages. I have like,
I'm the worst. Yeah, I'm the worst at it too.
But this day, 7 years ago, I decided to look at it, maybe six. And he had called me. His name's Eric Van Dam. And he proceeds to tell me every deal that's been done. And I had a whiteboard full of every deal. And the multiples and why they sold for what and that they have service agreements. And this was all home service, unlike home improvement. And I said, hey, listen, I'm not probably big enough for you to do a deal with today, but I'd love to have your help. And he says, okay, send me your org chart and send me all the details. Send me your last financials, da, 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 da. And so we're talking. He goes, you know, I think what would help a lot, Tommy, number one, is who's your lawyers? And I go, they're crap. They charge me a ton of money. They're not very good. He goes, well, the ones I'm going to refer are probably going to charge you more, but they're really good. He goes, let's do an equity incentive program at your company. What that does is it means your company's worth this today. And this is a very good multiple for your business. So we actually ended up making it lower than I thought the business was probably worth, but we put $50 million. That's yours. Anything over that, when we recruit the right CFO and the right COO and the right people, you get to give them a little piece, but it's vested over 5 years plus on certain things that need to happen. So I said, cool, I'm in. I love this. So I did that. I got the right lawyers. I built the EIP program. Then he said, hey, listen, here's a few things I can see in your business that are going to be a very big challenge. And he said, Tommy, your business, I met him when I was at 4.8 million of EBITDA. He said, I got to tell you, we got to get you past 20. If you want me to work with you on this stuff, he goes, I don't even want a fee for it, but my fee will come when we sell your business. I said, fine, over 20. So he said, I think right now you need a really strong COO. But he said, let's get you the right CFO to help get. And we had this whole plan. So we architect all this stuff. We hired his recruiter. I mean, you know, here's what's interesting about all this stuff. Is we got to 28 million of EBITDA. And my buddy, we built a board of advisors. Now, he was on my board. So he did get a little piece of equity. And my buddy flies into town and goes, Tommy, I told you to never sell your business, but you should sell right away. And he works at Service Titan. I'm sorry, Service Titan keeps coming up. Nothing to do with Service Titan. I don't know a piece of it, but it's just a CRM we use. But Tom Howard's a really smart guy. So I said, why? He goes, Tommy, the multiples people are getting, it doesn't make sense not to sell.
Yeah.
He goes, you don't understand. He goes, I think you might be able to get over a 20X. And I'm like, dude, that's stupid. Yeah. So I called Eric, called Dan, and I said, it's time. Let's do this thing. And it took 6 months. We did our own QA, our financials. And anyway, we got north of 20X. And wow. In the process, there was, I think, 23 millionaires that had equity. 23 millionaires came out of the deal. I'm not kidding, Brian. I sat down the next day after the money came in, and it was a couple hundred million hit my account, a little north of that, because I rolled so much and I had to pay almost 100 out. And I say this humbly, like, this is not, look at me. I if you guys meet me, I wear jeans. I'm a normal guy. I drive a truck.
He's a cool guy.
I'm not this guy that's trying to talk, but I did the math on what it would be like if they never got any of the money. And I got to pop the bottle of champagne by myself on just by myself at a club somewhere in a corner. And because they all rode so hard in the same direction with this equity incentive program, we went from 12.5 million to 28 million in 19 months.
Wow.
That's over doubled in 19 months because they all said, what's in it for them?
Yeah.
What's in it for them and their families? And these people are loyal. They will go to war for me. And now that's the first thing I do when I invest in a company is we form this EIP and I say, who are the most important people in your company and who are we missing in the org chart? Because we're going to give them something. Everything you've made up to this point is yours. But when I come in, we're giving a lot of it away. And guess what? I bought 30% of the company. We're giving 10% away. I'm losing 3% of my investment right off the top.
Yeah.
That's how much I believe in this program. These little things, but guess what every private equity company does? They give profit units. I guess what public traded company does. Public traded companies, they give, you know, different quarterly bonuses with shares, like stock options. So I just got really lucky. Like, I think about the Al Levy, who taught me all about manual standard operating procedures, knowing your known financial position was Alan Rohr. Buy back your time, Dan Martell. If I didn't get my truck set up correctly, I'll tell you, Dan Antonelli with my trucks. I mean, I got this sitting here. I know a lot of people aren't watching, they're listening, but this was my original truck and these are my new trucks. Like, without getting the brand right. And I was $40 million when I rebranded. Like, it's what happens along the way. Of who I've become. You could take all the money away from me today, Brian. You could take it all away. It wouldn't take me long to get it. It would not take long to get it back because of all the mistakes. I've literally metaphorically got all these bruises and scars of so many mistakes.
That goes back to so early. And by the way, again, for everybody listening, the numbers don't matter. Those are just Tommy's numbers. And by the way, those aren't my numbers. I don't aspire to be a billionaire. You know, I don't know if Tommy will keep talking to me after I admit that. But I don't aspire to that. But I know what my ideal life looks like. I know what it costs. And I will, you know, I work every day to make sure that that happens. But that's me. All of you have your own numbers. But the strategy, everything he is talking about applies to, it's just success in general, success, wealth, freedom. That's the stuff that we talk about here all the time. All of this stuff applies. Shit, I was going to go two ways with that. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what do you think about the equity idea for smaller companies? Say like a $5 million company that wants to go to 10 or wants to go to 20. Does the equity thing still work in smaller companies too?
It does. I think the problem though, and I will say, you know, you can't give out equity like candy. You got to be very, very structured. When you get the right lawyer team, you got to understand what the consequences are, because there's also arbitrage. So the value of the business at a $5 million revenue company, you might be getting a 5X on $1 million if you're at 20%. So 5 million times 20% is 1 million. Mm-hmm. 1 million times five of the multiples worth 5 million. So if you run the business and you want to get it to 20 million, the valuation, right? There's, you're giving away the arbitrage there in a lot of ways too, which is okay. I think you just got to know what you want and not hand equity out like candy. But now I give it all the way out to the technician level. And I got into a massive, massive debate with the private equity company I'm with right now. And they said, if you feel that strongly about it, because I was getting ready to give them my own equity. I said, no, I need this to go all the way down to that level. And they go, that doesn't make any sense. You're the only person that's ever wanted to do this. And I said, you don't understand. These people, they pour their life out. They give me blood, sweat, and tears. Not only do I want to do this for them, but I don't want them leaving. And I want to be able to recruit dozens of more. And I want their families to know that they're honored, cherished, and I want them to be around on the next turn as well. And so I've got it on this next deal. I've already got 60 pages of notes on what I'm going to do, because they made a lot of, I wouldn't have changed a thing really. It's more in the fine print I would have changed. I'm very happy with our partners. I'm really happy at our growth. But this next deal, I'm setting up to be monumental. But on the next deal, I also don't want to work like I'm working right now.
Yeah.
Which is tough, because I enjoy working and people are like, I can't imagine you. What are you going to be doing? What possibly could you be doing? And I'm like, well, I do want to have kids. I'm just going to be a very old dad. I do want to golf a little bit more. I really enjoy working out. I haven't traveled the world yet. So, but also I'm also not going to like let someone else run the business. So I got to figure this out. There's a lot that's going on in my mind about that. But I think to answer your question, equity works at all levels. As long, I wouldn't be giving it out. A lot of people say, I want to do what you did. I want to get to 100 million of revenue. And my first question is why?
Me too.
What do you want?
Yeah.
So you're not going to go like, why? You want to live my dreams? You want my life? Like, it's a pretty cool life. Don't get me wrong. But the first question I ask is, you better not have kids. You better not effing have kids, I say. Because I'll tell you this, I would not want you to be my dad if you wanted to get to that number based on where you're at today and what I know you're about to go through.
It's interesting that that whole revenue chasing thing, people don't realize that piece of it. Because in my prime years, 30 to 50, I had two kids and two little kids at home, you know? And that was my priority. Now, I wanted to get rich and I wanted to grow a business, but there was only so far I could go. And what's interesting is that I made the most money when they became adults.
Yeah.
When they became adults and I could really like get more selfish and more focused on me and my wants, and I should say our, me and Addie, that's when things really, really started to go quick. All right. So, God, there's so much more we can talk about, but I've got a few things offline I got to talk to you about. So yeah. I think we're good here. How do people find you?
Yeah. If you go to Tommy Mello, there's no W, TOMMYMELLO.com. Mello Yellow.
It's not Mello. It's Mello. Yeah.
Tommy Mello.
MELLO.
You could go there and, all my social media is there. And here's something I want to tell you real quick is what really opened my eyes, what really caused dramatic growth is when I got around the right people. I started to go doing shop tours. And these are not invited shop tours. This was me calling out, buying the whole place lunch or dinner, and like reading their book and sending them a gift and like begging them. Because I'm not afraid to ask and I'm not afraid to know. So I've been to every $100 million plus shop that does HVAC in the country, guaranteed. And when I learned what they focused on, and I looked at their training center, and I talked to their CMO and their CFO, and I smelt the air in those rooms, and I watched their rehash program about what they did with non-closed leads, that changed everything. It changed who we needed to become as a company. And so I started doing shop tours. If you go to TommyMello.com/shop, and I don't charge for it. My team usually leads them. I come and answer questions for an hour. You'll see our training center. You'll see our call center, our dispatch center. You'll see how we do things here. You'll meet our recruiters. We get better every single month. But the point is, I wanted to do that because so many people open up the doors for us. It's free. Yeah. And if you wanted to go tour another shop here in Phoenix, I know most of the companies. But I really enjoy it because people, I think their mind gets blown a little bit. And they go back. And I'm like, just take three things and implement them. But you need to start dreaming bigger. So I think that that's important. And I think my team deserves the credit that they have earned for this business that they helped create.
Well, and you wrote a book about this called Elevate. And so I highly recommend that. We'll put that in the show notes so you can go and.
Yeah, and you're in my other book here. Yeah, The Home Service Millionaire over here. This is an oldie, but a goodie this day and age. But yeah, you're.
Oh, that's right. I have a chapter in your book, in the Home Service Millionaire book.
Original one. Yeah. So it's, let me see here. I got your book sitting right here, but man, I haven't opened this book up in a long time. This is interesting. I don't read it. I've read it probably five times after I wrote it, but yeah, you're in the original Home Service Millionaire.
Yeah.
Hopefully in about a year and a half or two, there'll be a Home Service Billionaire. Which will be way different than the Home Service Millionaire.
Totally different, right? I look forward to that one. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy, thank you. This has been great. For everybody listening, you know, there's a lot here. I think the biggest difference, and this goes back to the mindset thing, is when you start thinking different, when you start thinking bigger, things start to show up in your life. And who you are as a person, who you have become up to that point, will determine what you do with that new information. Can you use that new information to grow yourself, to grow your business, to grow the five F's, your, well, what is it? Family and friends, fitness, faith, finances, and future self.
Yep.
I like that. And when your awareness grows of what's possible and what else is out there, it's pretty cool. And I think also at the end, you have to have something that you're fighting for. You got to know, you got to have clarity about, well, when I do this, this is what I'm going to get. My family is going to get this. My team is going to get this. My team's family is going to get this. And when I think that the why is so important, and I know for me, for 20 years, I wanted to make $1 million a year. Well, why? Why'd you want to make a million? I don't know. Just sounded great. When I was able to define it, when I was able to say, this is it, this is why, within 18 months, I was making $1 million a year. And so that to me is, I think, is critical. And so anyway, so Tommy, thank you again. Appreciate you, my friend. And until next time, everybody, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.